Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Warriors.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is episode 116, so it's the official show for the month of April 2020. Do you guys still remember what month it is?
I have to. I key this date in, whatever the day is, many, many times at work. So I kind of just get used to keeping track of whatever the day is.
I don't know. Earlier I thought it was Monday.
You're one day ahead. You're in the future then.
You know, yeah.
Animal Crossing's been messing me up a little bit because I keep changing the date in it and time. So, you know,
like, it's still March.
I should also mention that Desiree is here as well. She's hanging out.
There was no need for that.
Okay, well, she's here, so if you hear her chime in,
she says you a lot.
it's not some ghost in the machine. She is also messing with the cat who is sitting directly behind the microphone. So if there's any like weird knocking around, it is the cat.
There's going to be a lot of Foley work on your end, apparently.
That's weird. Right. You guys don't own a cat.
That cat's been dead for 40 years.
You wish Whoa. You could love on my kitty.
So on the official show, what we usually do is we talk about some news and new releases and then preview the next month. So that'll be the month of April. Piece of big news that happened this month is there was a big Animal Crossing update.
There was, in fact, yeah. It just hit on, I think, on the 23rd.
And with that, I'll see you guys in 20 minutes.
Until next time, Wes.
Alright. So let's start from the beginning. Just kidding.
So there is some new gardening options. There's the garden shop. Yep. You can buy some shrubs. You can some shrubberies.
Yeah. There's a new wing in the museum, which is meant to house artwork, essentially. It's not even like collecting animals anymore. We're just supposed to go out there and ransack and pillage the art of other cultures.
Right. And then, it's very imperialistic.
Know. Yeah, yeah.
At what point do you invade someone else's island and take it over as your own and then just murder the entire population?
Well, I think you can start, like John does, by just going to your island and then just digging fucking holes everywhere.
That's a declaration of war. Yeah.
It was not a declaration of war. It was like a love note with holes. Yeah. Oh, that sounds awful.
And that's Rats. The title of the episode, everybody.
Jeez, let's keep it above the belt, everybody. Come on.
I guess like what you could do is just destroy someone economically. You could go to their island and chop down all of like their rare fruit trees and dig up all their rare flowers.
So I don't think you can do that. I don't think you're actually able to do that. I think it prevents you from doing like doing those kind of trolley things or like building stuff or blocking them in or like, you know, trying to terraform their earth so their like bridges don't work and stuff. You know, I think they kind of they block you in from doing that. I know because there's a couple of things that I wanted to do. Like actually, I went to a friend's island, and they had a rare plant, a rare flower, and I wanted it, and I couldn't dig it up myself. And I was like, oh, can you do that? And then he tried to dig it up, but he couldn't like just leave it on the ground. He couldn't just like drop it or anything like that. He had to actually replant. Like, we couldn't just go into a building and he'd drop it on the ground or something, so.
Oh, weird. You know, he had to, like, mail it to you?
He didn't. I just gave up on getting it. I found it elsewhere. But I guess if he wanted to, yeah, he could have done that. Actually,
did you get the tracksuit jacket that I sent you?
I did, in fact, yeah. Did you get the superhero outfit, I think?
Sure did.
It's pretty sweet, huh? Actually,
yeah, pretty great.
The same friend that I was playing with, I was literally it was Sunday in my game time, and I was like, okay, so the turnip person was out, and my prices were like 97, which is pretty good. I was like, okay, whatever, I'll buy some. And then I literally get a message from my friend Sean, who's been playing, and he's like, turnip prices are $5.50 on my island. Did you want to stop by? So
that's insane.
I thankfully had about 250K saved up in the bank. So I went and withdrew all my money and went over there to exchange all of it out and turned 250K into 1.3 million. Which
nice.
I had literally just done the addition, so I needed to pay down that it was like a million, I think like 1.1 million I think I had to pay down or something like that. So that was pretty much done in one. That was fucking sweet.
Is that for the like the second story?
That is, I think so. Maybe that's what it is. I forget what it is. I know it goes from, like, I think 300 and then 800 and then, like, 1-1 or something like that. I forget what the exact totals are.
I just did the one that was about 300.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've got one more expansion after this to do. But yeah, I also then went into the shop and they had a $100,000 server, like a literal server farm, like a big box with like the lights and everything. So I was like, okay, fuck it. So I bought that and mailed it to him. So I was like, here's your finder's fee. You get a cut of this for sure. I was like, what else can I do? How can I say thank you for like fucking giving me all this extra dough to spend?
So yeah. back to the update. There is the art museum. Like they're the expansion of the museum. There's that fox Red who roams around your island. And I got a bone to pick with this guy. Because, well, for one thing, he can sell counterfeit art that you can't donate to the museum because they'll spot it as a counterfeit. That's really not such a big deal to me. Like, he parked his fucking boat on mine and Dez's private beach. It's this little cove that is only accessible by using the ladder on the back end of the island. And me and Dez planted our houses over there, and we like have like our garden and shit and our bamboo forest out that way. Like, this is our private beach. As soon as we can get some just like some beach chairs, we're gonna plant them right here, and we have our two little palm trees, and this is no one else knows about this but us. And he plants his like fucking steamship right there. Like, dude, move, go away.
This is our private beach. This is where we're going to die.
He doesn't wear pants either. He's just out there sunning his balls, you know? Actually, that space looks so obvious that they were going to do something with it, though. It was like this big, like open shoreline right at the like center north of the map. It always looked like there was a reason for it to be kind of. And I noticed most maps were like that. Like everyone else's island kind of had this space vacant for a reason. The same way that there's always kind of like docks in certain areas and things like that. But
is everybody's island the same, like? Island?
Generally, they should all have the same features. The only difference is that there will be different elevation and different freshwater patterns on the island. So you get like one of, I think, four different options whenever you select the island you want to visit and camp at.
So, but then eventually you unlock the construction feature. You can change around your topography however you want.
No, true. Yeah. You can terraform all you want and just make it look like. Oh, I saw somebody literally made artwork out of the mini map. You know when you bring up the mini map and it's got your visitors or your residents on the island and there's an actual map of the thing? They made it so that it looked like a picture of Blathers, the bird at the museum. They terraformed the whole earth like to make it look like it. I was like, that's fucked.
That is hilarious.
Yeah.
So along with the rest of this update, there are some new Nook Miles goals for Nature Day. That has to do with like planting bushes or like wearing flowers in your fashion. There's May Day tours. I guess there's a different island that you can go to look around that won't hit until a few days from now. And then there's going to be later in the month of May museum tour days where you can like collect stamps inside your museum. Like just like more stuff to fill up your collector's fetish, little notebooks and stuff.
Yeah.
And the last thing was early June, wedding season. I'm not even sure what that is, but...
That means characters in the game are probably going to get married.
Mm.
It's actually probably...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, no, go ahead. Tell me who you're going to marry.
Well, I was just going to ask Dez, who should we marry off on our island?
We can marry Berdo off, and he can like go live on her island, so that way he can get off our island.
That's good. I'm going to kick him off soon. Yeah, we're going to get someone
he's
better.
He's horrible. He's creepy.
I actually have a girl on my island I'm kind of into named Cookie. I don't want her to leave. She's pretty cool. She's like a pink dog. She's legit, and she always gives me really cool stuff and like sweet new clothes. So like, I have a fish wand now, which is really useful because it allows you to... Have you got a fish wand by any chance? Or any of the wands? It allows you to map clothing options on the fly. So like, you can have a radial and use it just like your other items, and when you press A or whatever, it brings up a grid of like 8 different attires that you can swap in and out. So you don't have to be running back and changing. So, like, I've got some very drastic different clothing options, but she's hooked me up with just so much fucking pink stuff that I was just like, I've gone all in, man. My hair is pink. like, everything about me matches this sweet attire I have, so.
Cool.
So the ones do stuff.
Yeah. I guess so.
This could be like one of those like A24 horror films, though. You never know what this wedding day is going to be all about. We may end up ritualistically sacrificing one of the, you know, residents of our islands.
I nominate Berdo.
That's what I was about to say. Well, we know who we'll nominate. What'll be really crazy is if like people could like marry other people. like in the game. Like they could literally go to like it's supposed to be maybe an add-on for like couples and stuff. Like they could theoretically go to like their boyfriend or girlfriend's like island and get married. Some nonsense.
Do you want to get married in the game?
I don't know. Maybe I want to be single in the game.
You want to be able to troll the island?
Yeah.
For
gotta get them bells somehow, huh? Yeah.
Oh no! Like, if anything, it's Roscoe.
Yeah, you're into Roscoe.
Yeah, who doesn't like a random emo horse? Like,
uh huh.
Great. Let's now, let's now, Dez is gonna be just muttering Roscoe in her sleep in the middle of the night.
I mean, how are we ignoring like the hottie on everyone's island, though? Our boy KK Slider. He is obviously a catch and a half.
I was so curious about that event, and then when the event happened, I was like, oh.
Kind of anticlimactic for you?
Yeah. Like, I thought that he would at least, like, have it be a singer. Like, an actual singing. Mm. But instead, it was, like, some chirpy noise nonsense.
Yeah, and that animalese.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh.
Well, hold the fuck up, though. Like, have you heard his entire catalog? He is one of the most dynamic performers there's ever been. Like, he makes new genres with every single. He's got, like, fucking New Orleans passionate jazz, and then heavy metal, and then, like, beach music. Like, he's got, a classical music. I mean, granted, the guy can't sing, clearly.
I was about to say, I think Ryan's going to marry KK.
I was about to say, he's still got a weird groupie right now, Ryan? I don't understand.
Every Saturday at 6 p.m.
I did literally order a pair of KK Slider pins for me and my friend Sean. They're like, nice. You know, probably the size of like a dime. They're not very big, but they're like his little face outline. So, yeah. And because I'm tough, I put it on my bag next to my Black Flag pin. So, you know, calm down, everybody. Still tough as fuck.
Hate is gonna hate.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move over to the Super Mario Maker 2 update.
Let's not. I got about 15 more minutes of notes here we got to burn through. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
So Mario Maker 2 got another update they call it the final big update, which means they'll probably just continue to like do stability updates from now on just to keep the game in working order. But the big highlights for me were the World Maker.
Yeah, Matt, that's so cool. We speculated on that. That was one of the things where we were like, why the fuck don't they do this? Like, that's a genius idea.
Yeah.
I mean, and granted, we had like 8 ideas. We're not, you know, prophesizing anything here.
Guys,
we had like a bunch of ideas.
That is our idea. They listen to our show.
Yeah.
Well, of course they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're welcome, America. And Japan.
So the thing about this, like, the World Maker is what you would expect it to be, like a little map, and you can lay out your paths and lay down your levels and, of course, put levels down that you created. The thing with the World Maker map is you can't do secret routes for your like your secret exits, your secondary exits for your level. And your power-ups don't carry over from level to level. So each level has to be bespoke. You don't get to like take your mushroom or whatever onto the next one. That's not such a big deal. But I was a bit bummed that you weren't able to make like your branching paths and your secret exits. I thought that would have been really cool.
You want to make like Star Road with nothing but airships?
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd be totally down for that.
As would I. But I get it. I mean, there's only so much they can do, and it looks like they put a ton into that. Like, they still have branching paths and the switch levels and hidden tunnels and things like that. Or not hidden. They're tunnels. They're visible tunnels. But they've still given you a lot of the stuff. It still makes it kind of feel like you got a legit world. And I was telling you that some of my favorite maps I've been playing are not the tough ones. They're ones that are, like, kind of themed. It'll be like somebody is making, like, a desert world, and it'll just call it like, you know, good level will be like Desert 3-2 or something like that. So now this actually gives them a place to display all of these different ideas in a cohesive thing. So I don't know, in a weird way, like, is this like they're getting rid of scripted television and now everything's a reality show? It's like they're not even going to hire Mario level developers anymore. They're just going to let us do everything for them.
That's a horrifying comparison, but it's cool that they have all different options for people who want to make this sort of content. Oh, I had a thought. Oh, you know, one of the cool things that you can do in the World Maker is you can change, like, the level icon from just, like, a little dot into, like, a character, like a Goomba, So if you just want to like make a really brief little level where you just have to like, squash a bunch of Goombas in succession without like hitting the ground or something, you can change this icon on the map to make it look like more of a bonus stage, like Mario 3.
I was going to say, yeah, you could literally do a Hammer Bros level. Just two rows of boxes and two Hammer Bros, and the win objective is take them both out.
Yep.
And then you can have the little icon just be the Hammer Bro. Like, perfect. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool addition. Yep. So there are some new power-ups as well, and most of these power-ups, if not all of them, are sort of locked to their particular theme. So there's the Mario 2 Mushroom, which is part of the Super Mario Bros. 1 theme. It changes Mario, his sprite, to the one from Super Mario Bros. 2, and it gives him that sort of power set where he can like ride on top of things that are flying and like pull up enemies and toss them.
Yep.
I think it's a bit strange that... Maybe not that strange. People were a little bit disappointed that, you know, it's like an addition to a current theme rather than like a full Super Mario Bros. 2 theme.
Yeah, that is a little odd.
They're just so incompatible, though. Like, you can kind of get, like, Mario 1 and Mario 3 are very much alike in the way that they play, but Mario 2 is really its own thing. It doesn't feel the same, it doesn't behave the same way, the objectives are different, like... You go through doors into a dark dimension to get items, and like, how the hell is any of that going to translate? Like, that's just too much. There's just think about the verticality of the levels. Like, it's really, really fun. Like, they had wraparound vertical levels, you know, where you could jump off to the right of a stage and then come back on the left. Like, that's never been a part of other traditional, at least that I can recall. I don't think that's been a part of any of the other Mario games, but yeah. I think it's nice of them to tip the cap to Mario 2, but there's no reason to throw that in there when you look at this list of other stuff that they are throwing in. That's going to be cool.
And I think your point about compatibility is apt, because one of the things about Mario Maker is that they do want to give you that easy swap between themes. Like, you take it from Super Mario Bros. 1 to Mario World to New Super Mario Bros. You can kind of flip-flop between them all. I guess like the one counterpoint to that is, like, in addition to these power-ups, they are sort of segmenting these different themes off of each other so that there are like more things that are locked to each one. You know, I don't think they nearly have as much, like, this is Mario 3 exclusive stuff. They don't have nearly as much like content locked to the themes to have that be justification for not including Mario Bros. 2, but I think like the ease of use of just swapping between themes really keeps them from having Mario 2 in there as a viable option.
Yep.
So we also got the frog suit exclusive to Mario 3.
Nice.
The frog suit, of course, from Mario 3 lets Mario jump higher as a frog does and swim faster as a frog does, and has an additional function as well that was not in Mario 3. Frog Mario can run across water as Jesus would.
I mean, Jesus would walk casually.
Sure, he's not
Mario
in a hurry.
Is panic running, from what I've seen.
Yeah, it seems to be you have to have your pee meter filled all the way up in order to run across the water like that.
Yeah. I don't know, the frog suit's always been kind of fun, and it makes water levels tolerable.
Yeah.
So good for them. And now that I think about it, is the boot in the game?
It is, yeah.
Okay, then I think that they've covered all bases. I think they've got all of the fun you need to have. I don't know. I think the frog suit's kind of... what you're probably going to see is a lot of trolley levels where you're in the frog suit and you're forced into the frog suit and there's never any water. That's my guess, is you're going to have a lot of shitty designs like that. But yeah, I don't know. The frog suit's always been kind of cool.
The Mario World has the power balloon. That's the little pee balloon that makes you inflate.
Yes.
Turns into like this floaty, bulbous character. New Super Mario Bros. Has the squirrel acorn. Squirrel suit has a couple of different functions. It has like a secondary jump, a slower
glider, right?
Fall rate. Yeah, and glide. Yeah. You can also stick to walls as well to get you like a little extra little wall jump.
Yeah.
A boomerang suit is in the Super Mario 3D World theme set, as well as a bunch of different things, wearable masks, a cannon box, propeller box, a power box, a Goomba mask, a Bullet Bill mask. The Goomba one is a really interesting one to me because it was just kind of funny how like they showed Mario like duck down his Goomba mask and like marching next to the other Goombas.
Suddenly Mario is now a stealth game? Okay.
Yeah, it's a really interesting idea. It'd be cool to see what sort of stealth things people can come up with for that sort of thing. And Bullet Bill one is an interesting one too because it allows you that horizontal flight, but it seems to be like a fuel economy to it. Like you need to make sure that you're saving enough to reach your destination.
Yeah, they looked like a pretty hectic thing in the demo they showed of trying to like zigzag between a bunch of spike walls.
Yeah. Koopalings are back in the game, or I guess like into the game for the first time.
Weirdly, my favorite part of this whole update. Like they look fantastic. They're going to be so much fun. Can you imagine
different powers and stuff?
Yeah. Like they always have. And think about it. You can give them the giant mushrooms too, probably, right? Make them double sized. You got these fucking giant Koopalings who are like you're supposed to be your size coming after you. I don't know. I think there's going to be a bunch of fun like Mega Man style boss rush things that people can create using all of these Koopalings in fun ways. So, stoked. Looks cool.
Yeah, absolutely. There's also some new parts that you can have in your level designs. You have the cursed key, which from Super Mario Bros. 2, which makes Phanto the mask chase whoever is holding the key, which might be cool for some multiplayer stuff. An on-off trampoline, so there are surfaces that when you hit the on-off switch, they become solid, and then when you flip the switch the opposite direction, it becomes a trampoline to vault you a little bit higher than your jump would.
Yep, seems like an item to use in like those annoying Kaizo levels.
Yep, and also Mecha Koopa.
I like that. Mega Koopa's cool. I always thought that was a fun thing, and it's kind of like the Reznors. They just got so little traction. Like, why didn't they use this constantly? They were very, very fun.
Mm. Why aren't the Reznors in the game?
Too cool, man. There's probably going to be like a Reznor expansion only that you have to pay like $30 for, and it'll be worth it, man. It'll be better than the game.
Yeah, totally worth it. I'll plop down $29.99 for Reznor.
They're going to make ones where you're Reznor, and you're now like taking over Mario's world.
Reznor's world. Well, yeah, it just rolls off the tongue.
Anything else about the Mario update that you want to get to before we move on to some game announcements?
Other than a shameful admission that I don't play nearly enough Mario Maker 2 for as awesome as the game as it is.
Me either. I don't own it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really cool to like pop it back in and mess around with it a bit more. You know, Mario Maker 1 had, I suppose, the benefit of the Wii U being a very underutilized system in general. Not too many games for the Wii U, so it had a lot of space to really shine on its own. The Switch has so many games coming out so often that, maybe if whenever I play Mario Maker 2, which is it's been several months since I've done it, I've always like tried to create my own levels. Maybe I should just start using it as like just a level playing game rather than a level designing game, because when you sit down to like make a level, you have to commit to it for a while, whereas like playing a few levels would be just like a quicker play session, like I would with Animal Crossing, just like 30-45 minutes, play a few levels and I'm out.
Yeah, I think I brought that up, I think, when we talked about it last time, where I was like, in Mario Maker, the original Mario Maker on the Wii U, it was definitely easier to build in the handheld mode with styluses. But also at the same time, I kind of felt like I was a good level maker. I felt like I was rapidly picking up other things that I thought were interesting and seeing how mechanics and things worked and building fun levels that I enjoyed playing and I thought would be fun for others to play. And in Mario Maker 2, I'm just overwhelmed totally. There's just too much stuff in it. And every time I play another level, I'm like, there's a dozen things I should have learned from this that I could incorporate in my own levels, and I just don't have the compulsion and energy to build them. And really, like you're saying, like it is so much fun to go into the popular courses or just the new courses and play them. I found so many really, really talented level makers because of it, and they've made some very, very fun courses to play. So I think it's... I'm enjoying it in a totally different way than I enjoyed the first. But... yeah, not to say that there's not going to be a ton of new features and functions as a result of all these add-ons. So, good for them.
Yep. So let's move over to some game announcements real quick. Just three ones that I thought were interesting. Windbound, that one's coming to Switch in August 2020. That is a sort of
like
Breath of the Wild.
A survival kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It looks really cool.
Yeah, it's got a, like a neat little like cel-shaded art style to it. It looks like, I was going to compare it to Breath of the Wild, but it does look like it has more like survivalist elements to it, where you're like having to gather resources. They showed some hunting, things like that.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. I mean, the trailer made it look very flashy and stylish. So, looking like a very, very cool looking game. Very, inspired by Zelda. But, yeah, we'll see what it's up.
The Trails of Cold Steel 4 got announced for Switch. That one's slated for 2021 as of right now. That's a JRPG from Falcom, who is a very niche JRPG developer. They make the East series as well as Legendary Heroes, Trails of Cold Steel, those series, Trails in the Sky. Not too much of their stuff has come to Nintendo systems in quite some time. East 8 did come to Switch last year or the year before, and Trails of Cold Steel 3 is coming to Switch in July or end of June, maybe. But I don't know, cool to see more support from different types of developers.
True.
And then 9 Years of Shadow is a sort of a Castlevania looking game, very gothic.
Looks fucking gorgeous. This game looks beautiful. Like, I don't know. The combat may suck in it. I don't even know if it's going to be a fun game to play, but it just looks great.
Cool. So, we did have one release date update, and that is The Outer Worlds. We got confirmation that one's coming to Switch on June the 5th. Oh, Wes, give us the quick pitch for The Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds, it's pretty good. It's got some pretty humorous conversations and just weird things that kind of pop up, but it's very inspired by, like, Fallout. Because I believe it's made... We've talked about Outer Worlds on the past show, but I'm pretty sure it's made by the same people that did New Vegas, and it's very heavy that. I got some gripes with it. It's got an interesting point system when it comes to leveling and everything. It's alright. Just, there's nothing spectacular about it. There's something that jumps out and be like, oh, okay, it's more of like a Fallout kind of game. So if you're into those kind of games, then it's a good one to grab.
Cool.
Not to bury the lead or anything, but there's literally the week before it, some other things come out that may be cannibalizing the people that might buy it.
We're going to talk about a lot of the games that are coming out at the end of May, but yeah, right in the last like day, like a 3-day span of the month of May, there's a ton of stuff coming out. That, you know, they probably should have spaced out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Hey, they could have released at the same time that it released on all other consoles, I guess. But I still remember the pitch from the guy that made it, and he's like, he seemed like he really wanted this on a Nintendo console. So the game looked good. I mean,
it's not bad. I'm not horribly far in it, but it's not bad. There's some things that really do annoy me, like these kind of games. It's like the old Skyrim games where you talk to somebody and they just zoom in on their face and have a conversation with you, and then they kind of zoom away. Like, it's really obnoxious.
Yeah,
and you know, Obsidian, who is the developer of this one, they did the right thing, and they delayed the game so they could do a physical version and not have it download only. There is still a required download, but I think it's last I saw it was like 6 gigabytes as opposed to the dozens of gigabytes that the full game would have required. So, you know, They did the right thing, and they brought the game to the Switch as like an intact physical game so that you had the option to buy it as opposed to taking up all that space just to download it. So, let's you guys want to take a break and then come back with some new releases?
Sounds good. We can take a little time out.
All right, we got some new releases to go through here. Ryan, you got the first one, Treachery in Beatdown City. That one came out March 31st.
Yeah, it did. I actually I purchased it. I haven't played it very much, so I don't know exactly how deep this game expects to be. But I think I've had enough to have a pretty good idea of what's going on here and have a take about it.
Do you know how much treachery is in Beatdown City?
You see, I'm not sure even who the treacherous one is. The game has me beating up the police quite a bit.
Oh my.
No. So what you're looking at in this game is at face value, it's an old school brawler, kind of like River City Ransom or what would you say, like a Double Dragon or the, you know, the Battletoads games, I guess. But they've done this bizarre thing, and this is, John, this is actually a game that's probably built more for your territory, because really, that's just the skin of it. It's all super low-res, 8-bit, looks like it's a Nintendo game, and it looks like it's this old-school brawler, but really what it is one of these, like, JRPG battle mechanic games that you would like.
Yeah.
There is in no way, like, straight-up brawling in this game. You really do no real brawling. But you can walk around and like punch somebody in the face, but they will, you'll do like, you'll chip them for 5 damage and then they'll do 30 damage to you and they'll kill you very, very quickly. So it's not really the kind of game where you can just wander around and press A to win, you know?
Interesting.
Really what it is juggling essentially a stamina bar, that's got sort of a move count, and then rolling moves that happen, or like based on the character you are playing with at the time, it's either sort of strikes and grapples. And there, again, there is this like sort of stamina bar associated with it. So what it means is that, oh, and as you use them, and if you can generate combos, say you do like a cheap punch for a little bit of mana, and then another punch for another little bit of mana, and then do like a triple punch for a lot of mana, that's a 5-strike combo. And then after you've done that, they reward you back. So it may cost 38, but then they'll give you back 30. So it rewards you for chaining together attacks.
Yeah.
Essentially. So the fights, and also what happens is, like, when you're ready to make your first strike on somebody, if you walk up to them and you're like in striking distance and you're about to hit them, you literally go to a old school Final Fantasy RPG menu drop down to then pick the chain of attacks you want to use. So time essentially stops right then. And then you can sit back and kind of like pontificate, what is the big combo I want to make that's going to maximize damage, return the most mana, and also keep me safe? Because if you don't have an attack that knocks them down, the second they're done with their attack, they're going to hit you right back. Or maybe they'll get the jump on you too. You never know.
So maybe you already answered this, but like when you engage in combat, do you like actually enter a separate like battle screen?
Yes. Yeah. You wander around a big map that's got little dots on it, so you're almost traveling around like a board game, and you have icons for where the bad guys are. So when you go onto a place that has a bad guy, you're going to enter a fight with them, and it'll be a quick one-on-one fight with you and them, and different people you go up against have different things about them. Like some are what they call like stealth sneaky fighters, some want to grapple, so like for example, I'm trying to think of a good, it's not very good about getting you used to what certain, I mean, they reuse characters over and over again. I've maybe fought 6 different characters total, and I've done probably 30 fights. You replay a lot of the same characters, but I still don't remember who does what and what their weaknesses are. But yeah, generally, like, some characters just don't even bother to grapple. You'll get fucked up if you try to. But some characters, the only way to damage them is grappling. Some characters, you need to use high-accuracy strikes. Some characters, you can get away with using low-accuracy strikes. So it's a thing. Like, there's all these different in-depth mechanics that are generally never associated with brawlers. Again, this is like hard-boiled JRPG stuff that they've kind of somehow managed to merge together in this game.
It's interesting that they sort of pitch this game as a brawler, because I don't know, it seems to me that they would have been able to like expand their audience a little bit if they were, you know, a little bit more like, I don't know, I guess try to being descriptive of what they were trying to make here.
They were clear about it in the trailer that this was an element of the game. I didn't realize it was the only element of the game. Again, there literally is no... you will not win a fight if your idea is just to chip punch opponents. There is no easy grab. If you want to do a grab, you literally need to start the combat, like initiate that combat, spend 10 of maybe your 60 points to then initiate the grapple, right? And then you'll maybe use another 30 to slam them. But what sucks, so now you're down from, and again, I'm doing numbers, this sucks for the listener, I'm sure, but 60, and I've now spent 40 of my mana, and I've only got 20 mana left, right, on 2 moves, you know? So God forbid your opponent breaks out of that, it means, one, you did no damage to him, and two, he's about to hit you right in the face. So you really need to be careful in that regard. I mean, here's the thing. There's no penalty for losing. The worst thing that happened, every time I've died so far, which has been maybe two or three times, I'm immediately put right back in the same fight I was in without any loss of resources. Oh, which, by the way, it doesn't seem like there's really any... The other thing, I'm talking about this being like a mechanics from JRPGs, there's literally no character development mechanics. There's no, like, character building stuff.
Hmm.
You will eventually level and get more mana across the board, but there's no place to farm, no place to buy gear to do this to you. You can buy health pickups, you can buy mana pickups that are like one turn use things to heal you up, but aside from that, it's a pretty bare bones. It's all very bare bones. So it's
interesting.
I don't want to insult them and call it a cop out, but it seems like they had a really complex battle system and then found the easiest way they could pigeonhole it into a game. And they decided that it would be this nostalgic looking old school brawler. That said though, the game's fun. Again, John, I think you're like totally the target audience for a game like this. You love these kind of decision making, you know, mistakes mean something, you can't make mistakes kind of battle mechanics, and then wrap it all up in the you know, the trappings of an old school brawler. One thing you will hate though, one thing you will fucking despise about this, there's no dialogue skipping.
Oh no.
There's a ton of fucking dialogue.
No, I was almost sold.
Yeah, you can't double pass to move past it. You literally just can hold down the button and then the text goes faster. But then when you hit the end of the text, you then have to tap the button to speed up the text for the next line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know. It's and frankly, the game thinks it's funnier than it is. It's not particularly entertaining dialogue. It's silly. And you get three characters. You get three characters, and they have it kind of spread out. So you've got a pure striker, a pure brawler, and then someone that's kind of in the middle.
Okay.
All in all, it's fine. Like, I'm not a... I'm not upset at all that I spent $19.99 for the game. It's fine, and this seems like a game that will eventually go on sale. If you see this go on sale, totally jump at it. You actually really may enjoy this game. This might be okay. Kind of a fun game if you're looking for it. Otherwise, meh. I kind of feel, and I'm only a few hours in, I'm gonna play more to really get a good sense of this game. But like, I don't know. That River City Girls game was a lot of fun, and I think it's a little more of a kinetic brawler. It's a little more actual fighting. And not so much menus, very few menus.
So that was actually where I was going. Like, I was about to ask you. So it's pretty obvious that this is not 2020's River City Girls.
Oh, right. And go back and buy that Capcom bundle while you're at it. If you want some brawlers, do that. John, and I'm telling you the fighters that I've enjoyed. And I'm sure, John, you've probably got a pretty good handle on other fun turn-taking RPG type games or strategy games that would be worth playing. I think you would, unless you're super duper deep into any of this stuff around this. It's not an essential game, but it's fun. It's a fun little diversion. But I'm still like, I don't know. I'm wondering what's going on my island in Animal Crossing as I play it.
Yes, it's not scratching that brawler itch. I think the. Like, if someone's really looking for a good brawler, just wait 4 more days for Streets of Rage 4.
Yes, that'll be a great one to play. I'm actually very excited for that.
So I got a couple of new release games here. First one is called ITTA, I-T-T-A. This is the Hyper Light Drifter lookalike. Doesn't entirely play like Hyper Light Drifter, but is definitely visually inspired by that game. It hits all of like the same notes of having like these very like naturalistic environments that you're working through that look really nice, like a very pastel color palette. Not as quite as dynamic as a Hyper Light Drifter, because Hyper Light Drifter also mixed in a like lot of reds and pinks and stuff and purples to get that splash of color along with these very earthy tones. But Ita is doing that Hyperlight Drifter also did very well is hit you with these very striking images when you're not expecting it. Like Hyperlight Drifter, I remember one of the things I most remember about that game is when you're like scaling the side of this mountain, there's also just this big like skeleton robot looking guy just kind of hugging the side of the mountain. And
ain't it funny? There is kind of a grandeur to the game for as simple as it is.
Yeah, and Ita is trying to hit those same notes, and it does so with some success, in the way that it kind of surprises you with these visual elements. And it is a smaller game than Hyper Light Drifter for sure. Like Hyper Light Drifter, I don't know, how long do you think it would like take to play through it the first time? Maybe 8 or 10 hours?
Yeah, I was about to say 8.
Yeah, it's a difficult game. You know, if you knew what you were doing and were good at the game, you would probably breeze through it in maybe like 4 hours. So.
Yeah, I guess I can watch a speedrun of that.
Oh, I'm sure a speedrun could probably tackle it in like an hour or something. They probably know all the fast routes and do everything on one health. Oh, but yeah, go ahead, John, everything.
Ita, on the other hand, is probably going to take 4 or 5 hours when it's all said and done to work through. And just like the scale of the game, like the entire like. A map of the game is probably the size of one segment in Hyper Light Drifter, so it is a much more confined experience.
Ooh. Okay.
25 minutes. Sorry.
25 minutes? Yeah.
25 minutes.
Oh, for a speedrun? Oh, shit. That's impressive.
Hyper Light. 25 minutes. Boom.
I think, by the way, like, so, I mean, again, I'm going to not interrupt every second, but, like, Diablo 2, like, the Sorceress speedrun to complete in normal is, I think, just about an hour, which is insane. Like, I'll spend an hour clearing, like, the fucking Countess dungeon over and over again. Like, it's crazy. Yeah, no, but 25 minutes to beat fucking Hyper Light Drifter, that's absurd.
It's impressive.
I'm putting it on my other screen and just letting it run during this.
So, in Ita, it has, like, those visual elements and, like, the aesthetic elements of Hyper Light Drifter. It also has a little bit of, like, the exploration kind of stuff, because Hyper Light Drifter, you, like, kind of, like, had to poke the walls to find all these secrets and stuff. For a game with a much smaller scale, it doesn't nearly have that the same amount of depth to like the sort of secret searching and like finding alternate routes and hidden areas and things like that. But you know, there are a few things like tucked away in some corners that you can find and discover, like HP expansions and like a couple of like different guns. Because I really haven't talked about like the core mechanics of the game. It's like a twin stick shooter. You have like the world exploration, like you do in Hyper Light Drifter, but then when you enter like these boss rooms, it turns into like this twin stick bullet hell where you're having to move with one stick, aim with the other stick, and you have all these bullets coming at you, so you have to like time your dodges appropriately in order to preserve as much HP as you can. There are some difficulty like tuning that you can do.
HP.
Yes, I'm sorry, HP. You can, like, there are a couple of different things you can do to tune the difficulty. One of the things is you can just turn damage off completely, which then just defeats the purpose of even, like, having the boss fights, in my opinion. Like, but the other thing that you can do is you can turn your damage multiplier up by 100%. You can double the damage that you're outputting, which I did from the beginning because like twin stick shooters aren't typically my thing, and I'm glad that I did because the bosses can be damage sponges, and it would turn like a 2-minute bullet hell boss fight into a 4-minute bullet hell boss fight. And you know, some of the bosses I've been able to beat on the first try, other ones have taken 4, 5, 6 tries, and you know, if it took me a half an hour to clear one boss fight, I'd probably just get frustrated with the game and move on from it pretty quickly. So I'm glad that they have that damage multiplier in there. But what you can do is as you're exploring around the world, is you can find extra guns, and your default gun is just like your little revolver. It fires one shot at a time, of course. You find a shotgun, which gives you, of course, like a spread. It's unpredictable where it's going to go. It's going to fire 3 shots forward out of your gun, but sometimes they can kind of go askew. So just kind of like a spray and pray strategy to your bullet hell game. There's a cannon, a big cannon that has recoil damage, but hits for a lot of damage. The most recent gun that I found is a fully automatic, like, machine gun, which has been really great for the few boss fights that I have left, because then it's just a matter of holding down the fire button and moving the character around, just facing where I want to shoot. Whereas every other gun is like having to move the character, move the direction that I'm facing, and constantly like just firing away at the trigger button that actually fires the shots. So having something fully automatic has been really beneficial. And there are a couple of other weapons that I have not yet discovered, and I'm getting toward the end of the game at this point. Not all of the boss fights are required. It seems that as soon as you beat 10 bosses, you can go ahead and make your way to the end game. I'll probably end up going after the remainder of them, because there's only like two, maybe three other ones that I've discovered but haven't beaten yet. So I'll probably work my way around, maybe try to see if there's any more power-ups throughout the game that I can uncover before I finish this thing off. Generally, I'm pretty positive on it. It's for like a twin stick shooter that I typically don't play a whole lot, I'm having a pretty good time with it. There's only been one part of the game that I've just been annoyed with it, and that was not even a boss fight. It was like this puzzle that you had to do. It has minimal puzzle solving, like you find the switch to open up the gate. That's sort of like really light Zelda type stuff. But there was a puzzle in the game where I had to re-enter a boss room and shoot these tiles on the floor, and I had to do it within a certain amount of time, or otherwise they deactivate and I'd have to start all over. And that one was an annoying one, because aiming with I was playing handheld, and aiming with the little Joy-Con stick isn't precise. And when I tried to switch to a weapon like the shotgun that would give me more of a spread, it was unreliable that I was going to hit the target that I wanted to hit. So that one just ended up being a huge annoyance, and I wish they would have avoided something like that. There are a couple of like technical issues that are, you know, not problematic, but they're also in there, so I might as well mention them. When you're entering a boss room, you know, the door opens, your controller rumbles, you can't turn the rumble off, which is annoying. I wish you could turn the rumble off. You enter, and then like the screen fades to black, and then you're supposed to enter like the boss arena. It's a separate screen. In a couple of those boss rooms, like the door opens, you walk through it, but if you stop holding forward, the screen will fade to black, but then immediately go back, like immediately to the screen that you were at, instead of loading the boss room until you walk forward, and then you have to like go through the whole fade to black, and then the boss area will load. So, you know, a couple of
really? Okay.
Yeah, it's like a weird technical hiccup, like hey, you're supposed to keep on holding down forward. Don't stop. Like, well, I already walked through the door, so I should probably be able to let up. But anyway, just kind of a strange one that doesn't really affect anything. But yeah, I think.
So do you find yourself like mainlining with one weapon, or do you think that they have actually a good balance where you feel like in different scenarios, different weapons make sense?
I was maining the shotgun mostly until I got my automatic weapon, my machine gun, because the shotgun was just outputting the most damage. The revolver is kind of slow as your starter weapon, and the cannon is even slower, and the cannon has recoil. So in a game where you're having to pay attention a lot to where you're positioning yourself and dodging a lot of bullets, having that recoil in there just makes it tougher to control your position. So, yeah, now that I've gotten that machine gun, I've never used another gun because it's just so damn convenient to be able to just hold down the fire button and go. So I think it was $19.99, something like that, in that ballpark when I picked it up. And I think like if you're interested in like these sort of indie games with a striking art style or twin stick shooters, I think it's well worth a pickup. And then the last new release game that I've been playing is Trials of Mana. Wes, did you ever try the demo?
No, again, I'm... Really, why do you guys have me on this show? I don't contribute to anything.
Well, because we're going to have you
it's
read.
It's downloaded, I just haven't gotten around.
That's not true. We don't know what is going on in the world of fantasy literature.
Yeah, so. What's Brandy Sandy up to?
Yeah.
Nothing until November.
What about our boy Bobby Jordan? Has he done anything cool?
Isn't he dead?
He's probably dead.
I have no idea who
Robert
this guy
Jordan,
is.
Brendan Saracen finished the Wheel of Time series because he died.
And his widow listens to the show. That was in poor taste.
Oh, jeez.
So, Trials of Mana, it is an action RPG. I talked a bit about the mechanics of it when I talked about...
It's a racer. It's a Trials game. No, it's a Trials game. It's a racer, of course.
Yeah, you're on a motorcycle.
Yes.
So, I talked about the mechanics of it. Light attack, heavy attack, dodges, jumps. I talked also, when I talked about the demo, about the comparisons to the Super Nintendo original. To my taste, this is such a great remake, such a great improvement over the original, because the original was very clumsy and slow in the way that you were selecting like your healing spells. They, well, of course, like your AI characters act on their own, but when they select a spell, they just do it, and there's no like wait for their cast time. The spell just appears, and like, oh, okay, that character just cast a spell, and it's great. Using items is a lot more intuitive. You can just like set items to quick commands, or you can open up your quick item menu, which will, using the quick command, will have the action continue while you're selecting, and which is, I mean, it's just a tap of two buttons, so it's not even a big deal. But then open up your item menu is the tap of one button, and things pause when it lets you select your item that you want to use. So both are handy in different situations. Selecting abilities is a lot smoother, and it doesn't require the same sort of casting time that it did in the Super Nintendo original. And there was one other thing that, the way that you're leveling up and selecting your skills in the original, you're just kind of like selecting like one stat that you wanted to buff up and hopefully build your character in the right way. In this remake, it seems that it's going to be beneficial to have everyone sort of spread out the stats that they are buffing up. Your attack, your stamina, your like magic attack, magic defense, and your luck. And there are different abilities that you'll learn associated with each character. Like, depending, like, not every character will learn the same ability if you level up their luck all the way. So yeah, like one of the main draws of this game is that you have all these like six different characters that you can play with, but you only select three, and that's like your party through the entire playthrough, and then you can play again with the other three if you feel like it. I selected the sort of like thief rogue character, as well as the black mage girl, and then there's also this Valkyrie girl character who is outputting most of my damage right now. She also has some limited magical capabilities. So I did not select the healer, which the healer was really essential in the Super Nintendo version because just of how much damage your party takes. Because of the way they revamped the battle system to give you things like a dodge, I find myself in need of healing far less. And also, one of the great things about this remake is that they've upped your just total capacity for carrying items. In the Super Nintendo version, you could only carry 9 of each item, so you could only carry like 9 of your revival items, 9 of just your standard HP restorative items. So in HP. This, like, yes, excuse me, I keep doing this, HP. And
John is so lacking in culture. What the hell?
I'm so unrefined. And so. What you
did I derail you enough?
Yeah, a little bit. So I like having all of these HP restorative items just available has really mitigated the need for a dedicated healer, which is great because I'm able to output more damage with the two characters that can do that as opposed to one. And you don't have to ever babysit a character. You don't like have to like think about, okay, like this character is always going to need to be guarded because they're the healer and they can't really output much damage. So, yeah, I'm real positive on it so far.
It sounds like these are quality of life improvements with the most parts, with the things that they're changing. Like, so that would all in all be pretty good, I would think. I mean, do you think it's still the spirit of the game is intact? Like, do you think that they did anything that really like makes this not feel like a genuine remake or like a remaster? Or
No, I think they did a good job. Like, I think that the biggest thing to do to preserve the spirit of the game is to have, like, the six different characters with the different classes that lets you, like, lock in your party from the start. And, of course, they hit all of, like, the same progression beats. You're going to the same places and fighting the same bosses. You know, you're out there to collect, like, the eight MacGuffins and take down the big bad. So, you know, it's clearly a remake. And, like, a lot of, like, the story stuff, which most of it is skippable, thankfully, is just retelling the same stuff, and I can tell because it was not skippable in the Super Nintendo version, so I had to suffer through that. So I think they did a good job of maintaining the spirit of the original while making all these really great improvements. And it has one of the two great things that every RPG needs. One is not random encounters, which is great, and two, it has maps that you can fill in as you explore the world, and they give you bonuses for filling in these maps.
Oh God, John, you got a problem, man. You got a thing that you're doing here. It's not good for you.
We need every game to cut out all narrative and just be like cartography.
That's the good. Gross.
So I think like if For RPG enthusiasts, I think this game is well worth a pickup. I'm having a good time with it. So, all right, let's wrap it up with games coming out in May. First one is Streets of Rage 4, technically out on April 30th, but that game will not be out by the time the show posts. So technically, it's a preview. Wes, take us away.
Amongst the best beat-em-up series ever created, jammin' 90s beats and over-the-top street beating, the iconic series Streets of Rage comes back with a masterful tribute and revitalization of the classic action fans adore. The all-time classic... Oh, this is kind of long. The all-time classic Streets of Rage, known as Bare Knuckle something in Japan, is a beat-em-up series known for this timeless gameplay and electronic dance-influenced music. Streets of Rage 4 builds upon the classic trilogy's gameplay with new mechanics, beautiful hand-drawn visuals, and god-tier soundtrack. They really are beating us over the head with this soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
Team up with iconic and brand-new characters. Streets of Rage 4 guides iconic characters back, Axel, Blaze, and Adam, teaming up with new brother and sister-in-arms, Floyd Araya and Cherry Hunter, with some brand new moves and kick-ass tracks to take a listen. Our heroes are ready to dish out beatdowns to a fledgling group of ill-advised criminals in full force. Nostalgia strikes again. One of your dreams is coming true. In addition to the five new characters, unlock and play your favorite pixelated characters from the previous Streets of Rage games, such as Axel, Adam, Blaze, Kate, Max, and many more, with their own retro SFX in gorgeous HD and hand-drawn urban environments. And for the full nostalgic experience, you can also be able to play with the music of the previous Streets of Rage games.
Well, thank God they mentioned the music. Thank God.
Every paragraph is just music. Just, hey, this is a music game. Outstanding hand-drawn visuals. Streets of Rage 4 will be the first entry to the core series in 25 years, standing as Axel, Adam, or Blaze's glorious return to serving up side-scrolling beatdowns, with lush hand-drawn animations, new combat abilities, and fresh tracks for an amazing team of composers. Streets of Rage 4 would be a masterful tribute and revitalization of the classic action fans adore. Epic lineup, legendary game composers.
Oh, but we have to keep going. I think we've figured it out.
We get the beat. We get it.
What are the names?
Just the description is beating us down. I don't
like Crypt of the Necrodancer didn't talk this much about the music in it.
Right.
What are the names of the characters in the game? I don't think they mentioned them enough.
There's Axel Foley and RoboCop and the Xenomorph. I think that was all three.
Do you guys really want to see me go through something painful?
No, that's okay. I know exactly where you're going with this. You do not have to read the names.
Oh, it's all
the
Japanese composers, isn't it?
These are the names of the composers on this list.
Yeah.
Yuzo Koshiro. All
right. Okay, so generally, I'm positive on this. I'm excited for this game.
Yeah.
It looks cool. And it'll be interesting to see one that, like they did advertise in their bio, that's built more around hand-drawn animation and not pixel art. Because, yeah, I mean, it's definitely fun to play retro brawlers, but it's not like brawlers themselves have to be retro. And I think that this is a series that, you know, is trying to modernize it just a touch. So it looks cool. Yeah. It looks really fun.
It does look really cool. I'm actually, there actually are like more bullet points past where Wes read with all of the features. And I'm just looking at it. And it's got 4-player co-op, but offline only, which, you know, we'll have to wait until the coronavirus is over until we, you know, are able to get a co-op going, which is a bummer.
Hey, 4 people in your household, so, you know, get some extra.
That's true. Wes, why don't we...
So next should be Jay and Silent Bob. Mall Brawl.
Let's keep the brawler train rolling.
Alright, strap in for this one, guys.
Okay.
Classic retro beat-em-up with contemporary design. Play as Jay and Silent Bob in a retro 8-bit side-scrolling brawler. Go solo or team up with a friend. Pummel enemies with hard-hitting combos, dash attacks and elbow drops, as well as a random assortment of weapons as you bow your way out of the mall and back to the quick stop. And that's it.
That's all they're giving us?
That's all we got. Those two sentences.
I brought this game up for one reason, and that's like, this looks like such trash.
It really does.
Super low effort, yeah.
Oh my, it looks real bad. Just bring this quick stop to me.
Why did we need a Jay and Silent Bob game? Like, who
decided? Well, last time they were relevant.
Well, they just had like that reboot movie. I don't know, within the past year or so. I didn't see it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I saw it. Actually, I did see the last movie. It's actually pretty fun. It's not bad. It's got its charm and its quirk. Like, if you like Jay and Silent Bob's, if you like the other Kevin Smith movies where it's all of his zany, like, stoner shit and not, like, serious quote-unquote stuff, like, maybe, like, Chasing Amy, you'll probably
enjoy Red State.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's super serious. I mean, more like, you know, ones that are a little more grounded and not so fucking absurd. This is a Jay and Silent Bob movie, and it is absurd, truly. And it was fun. It was really enjoyable. And actually, like, I don't remember her name, but Kevin Smith's daughter is actually, like, probably the biggest character in the new movie.
Oh, yeah?
And she's got legitimate acting chops, so, you know, good for her. It's not like a father kind of forcing his daughter into the spotlight. She genuinely seems to know what she's doing, and she's pretty good.
Ah, poor Jaden Smith.
Yeah. I literally just gave a lukewarm review of a brawler. We just talked about how great, how anticipated a brawler will be in 4 days.
I get this garbage.
Where is there space for this game? Like, this game looks...
Right.
I don't know. Like, I hope we're wrong, and I hope that it makes, like, some hidden gems of the 2020 year or whatever, but...
I know John's seen it, but have you seen the... I know John has seen it, but have you seen the Jay and Silent... Not Jay and Silent, well, the Clerks, the animated series.
Oh yeah, I have. I love it.
I'm
it's
bringing
so funny.
This up. That is amazing.
Yeah, it's very clever.
6 episodes with 3 really good ones.
Yeah, it's a shame they never got a full run of it, but, nah. Actually, if we got time, I'll save it for an After Dark. There's the Adventure Time people made a new series that's fucking a mind bender of a series. It's wonderful.
What is it called?
Is it not Midnight Special? What the fuck is it called? Or maybe it is called Midnight Special. It's something Midnight. It's on Netflix. There's only 8 episodes.
I'll have to take a look at it.
It's very contemplative, though. It's not like a fun, silly adventure. It's if anything, it's like a movie that came out like 15 years ago called Waking Life, which is a lot of room for philosophical discussion using Adventure Time's animation style.
Oof.
But it's fucking cool. I'd love to talk about it. Again, After Dark material. Not for the official show.
Another time. Yeah. All right. Next up, we got the Xenoblade Definitive Edition.
Stand by, Wes.
I'm standing by.
Oh, John, put away the
boner. Before speaking of boners, before Xenoblade, Shantae and the Seven Sirens comes out May 28th. No Nintendo description for that one just yet, but I'm totally down for that one because Shantae, these games are some pretty solid, like, Metroid-style games. So, totally in for that one. All right, Wes, take us away with Xenoblade.
All right. Join the fight between man and machine in the definitive edition of this critically acclaimed RPG. Discover the origins of Shulk as he and his companions clash against seemingly unstoppable mechanical menace. Wield the future-seeing blade, chain together attacks, and carefully position your party members in strategic, real-time combat as you journey across a massive world. During an attack for the mechanical invaders known as the Mechon, Shulk discovers that he can tap into the full power of a mysterious blade known as the Monado. With the mighty Monado in hand, Shulk sets out to defeat the Mechon once and for all. In addition to the Mechon, you'll run into wildlife that ranges from docile to deadly. Keep an eye on what attracts monsters' attention to avoid unwanted conflict, or try your hand at bringing them down in an ultra-powerful, unique monster. Upgrade your party as you progress through the adventure by selecting equipment, enhancing weapon skills, and using benefit-granting gems. Put your dependable companions to work by filling the party gauge to trigger a chain attack and attack enemies in quick succession. And that's it. Nice and simple. No ridiculous bullet points.
Okay. I'm all in.
Way it should be done.
How about you, Wes? You jumping in?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, yes. Ryan?
Probably not. No.
You saw it. Yeah? All right.
And this is why it's good to have different voices on a podcast like this, because you guys can talk about how much you love titties in anime, and I can talk about more refined things. It's great.
There's really not a lot of those in this one.
I'm just kidding. No, you guys really like the Xenoblade series. You guys said it's a fantastic one. I'm sure that you guys are thrilled to have...
Well, you're borrowing mine when I get done with it, and you're playing through it.
Yeah, totally. We've talked about this in the past where you guys wanted to get me to play something from the Xenoblade series. Like, again, my buddy Sean that's been playing Animal Crossing. Like, I was literally over at his house the other day, and he literally had one of those gamer guides for Xenosaga 3 that he was playing on, like, a retro console. So,
okay.
I mean, the series has its pedigree. I'm sure it's fantastic. I'm sure it's really, really good if you're into that thing. And if one of you guys wants to loan me a game, I'll check it out for sure. I'll give it an honest try. But in the meantime, you guys can gush as much as you want, and I will just keep making fun of you.
Which one of the three of the 2K games did we say we're going to read?
XCOM.
All right, let's do it.
XCOM 2, because Ryan and I, you played through the Bioshocks, right, Ryan?
I've actually never played the Bioshocks, any of them.
What the frack?
This is the highest...
Bioshocks are beautiful. I love those games dearly.
Yeah. This is actually, of the three, this will be my first to buy, though it will probably be my third favorite of the three. When all said and done, I can't imagine this is going to be better than the other two.
I mean, I like the Bioshocks more than Borderlands 1, maybe 2. Like, I definitely have replayed them more than I have, like, the Borderlands.
Diablo is my favorite game. Of course, I love Diablo. I love Borderlands.
Ah. Yeah, definitely get to Bioshock, though. I love those games. I really need to play through them again. They're so good. Okay, we'll talk about XCOM, though.
Yeah.
Another game that you do like, Ryan.
All three of these are fantastic, and everyone should buy them.
Ignite a global resistance and reclaim Earth from alien occupation in XCOM 2 on Nintendo Switch. The XCOM 2 collection includes the award-winning strategy game XCOM 2, 4 DLC packs, Resistance Warrior Pack, Anarchy's Children, Alien Hunters, Shen's Last Gift, and the War of the Chosen expansion all in one package. Activate any of the additional content DLCs in the expansion, or just play the base game. XCOM 2, aliens rule Earth, promising a brilliant future for mankind while secretly hiding a sinister agenda. As the leaders of a guerrilla force facing impossible odds, you must ignite a global resistance to eliminate the alien threat and save the Hum race from extinction. Hum? Is that a thing in the game?
Hum? Like H-O-M-M?
H-U-M.
Oh, that's probably human race.
That's a typo on the website then. Because it just says Hum race.
Well done.
XCOM 2, War of the Chosen. It's not Nintendo at their official website and descriptions. Yeah. No big deal. XCOM 2, War of the Chosen. This expansion adds exclusive new content in the fight against Advent, including new hero classes, powerful new enemies, as well as new missions, environments, and increased depth in strategic gameplay. Four DLC packs, Resistance Warrior Pack. Customize your squad of Resistance Fighters with a set of bonus outfits and headgear, as well as custom armor and face camo. Anarchy's Children, this rebellion-themed content packet introduces more than 100 new exotic customizations for the entire arsenal of armors available to your XCOM soldiers. These options are purely cosmetic and do not alter the stats of the soldier. Alien Hunters, transform the soldiers of XCOM into an elite alien hunting squad with impressive new weapons and armor to face off against new alien rulers that will pursue your squad against an entire campaign. Additional cosmetic upgrades to soldiers in the Avenger are included, as well as new epic missions, where Central Officer Bradford leads a squad with the guidance of an old friend. And lastly, Shen's Last Gift. Investigate Evan's Lost Towers facilities, where Chief Engineer Lily Shen accompanies her squad in search of her late father's secretive final project. Discover a unique new soldier class complete with new combat abilities, strategy mechanics, and customization options. Bleh. I probably could have skipped a lot of that.
Yeah, it's a good job, Wes. That was a lot they had you read there.
Just edit that DLC part out. People don't need to listen through all that.
Yeah. I mean, anybody's welcome to look up all of the awards this game won, all of the reviews it received. This is a truly, one of those kind of perfect games. This is the kind of game that's built to sink 100 hours of your life into if you want. It's absolutely fantastic. It's so much fun. It makes you it draws emotions out of you that really hurts when the character dies, because it's something that you crafted and built and worked hard at. It's fascinating, intricate combat, the character development, the building. It's all this fun RPG stuff. It's all this great strategy stuff. It's a chess game. It's a resource management. It's worst thing you can say is that it's gonna take a while to figure out what everything is, and to feel like you're good at this game takes triple digit hours. but there will be growing pains along the way, but wow, this game is so much fucking fun. I can't give more praise than I am right now, I guess. Like, fucking, for real. XCOM is a fantastic franchise. I've been playing it since I was a little kid. I played the original XCOM games, and I always loved it because there was this kind of anarchy to it, where your character could do all this stuff you really didn't figure out you could do, and, like, you'd go into the slums to take out these aliens that are trying to invade, and then you accidentally blew up the entire 20-story building. You know, and you killed everybody in the slums, and now the town's pissed at you. Right? It's just like all of these random events will occur that are so unpredictable within the game. That's essentially it. You've got your squad of mercenaries and heroes, and you're fending off these alien invasions that are coming from... Oh, and XCOM 2 takes place from a point of view where we lost... mankind lost the initial invasion. So now we're sort of this... what would you say? Like... kind of like an insurgent force that's trying to take it back. I'll stop there. You guys just let me ramble for a little bit there. XCOM's a great game. You should buy it. It's fucking great. This is one of three really awesome collections that they're about to give us.
Borderlands is cool. People know that. Bioshock. Buy Bioshock.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Before I play XCOM, I will be getting some Bioshock just because of game too is like, wow, it's a storied franchise that's super, super popular. So... Oh, and John, I'm sure you're pumped about Xenoblade Chronicles. Yeah, any interest in any of these other ones?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be getting Bioshock and XCOM at some point. They're going to go on the wish list, and I'm going to be keeping an eye on them. But Xenoblade gets top priority there, but I'll definitely get around to the other ones at some point. I'm not sure about Borderlands yet. I'm going to stick it on the wish list to keep an eye on it, but I think my list of priorities is going to be Bioshock then Borderlands, or Bioshock then XCOM then Borderlands.
Do we have prices on these? Like, do you know how much they're going to be?
Last I checked, earlier today, they did not have any prices on the Switch eShop just yet.
Okay, I'm just curious. I don't know what they would charge. I feel like they could kind of justify a AAA title, the price of it if they needed to.
That's kind of what I'm expecting, is what I'm bracing myself for. But, like, we talked about when these games were announced, a lot of these collections are available on other systems between, like, $20 and $30. I don't think we're going to see that sort of a discount, but hopefully we'll get in that sort of ballpark, maybe 30 or 40. But I'm bracing myself for that $60 price tag.
I mean, it's like with that Doom 2016. Like, the lowest it ever went was $30 on the eShop, mm-hmm. and it's $5 on Steam.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I mean, they're old, but it is a big collection, so who knows? Even on the website, there's no price for them.
Yeah. Oh, and also, like, again, wow, sorry, Outer Worlds.
Right?
A week before that game comes out, they're going to get bombarded with just all of these games. Wow.
Yeah, I'd say Bioshock over Outer Worlds.
Okay.
I really love Bioshock. It holds a very special spot in my heart. It's also terrifying to play in the dark. So make sure you do that.
Oh, very good. I mean, I love horror games. If anything, maybe that is one of the things that's lacking on the Switch, is a nice selection of true horror titles.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a true horror title. I mean, things aren't like... It's just creepy here and there. Like,
nope, zombies. You told me they're zombies. It's good. It's a scary game.
Stupid Curry.
But, like, Outer Worlds, that's one that's definitely going to be on my radar, and it'll go on a wish list. But, like, all of these games clustered together like this, like, 2K, like there's 30 other days in May before you launch this game, and there's this entire month called June after May 29th. Like, could you spread them out maybe a little bit? It's just a weird decision just to have them all at once.
Again, and maybe it makes me think that Borderlands is, like, the known quantity, and, like, if you did like the game, you probably already played it on PC, or maybe you got it on another console, so I would think that's the least hot seller of everything on here, honestly.
Maybe. So
what do I know?
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, but what do I know? That was my capper for the discussion.
Well, I think that's going to wrap up the new releases, and I think that'll wrap up the show as well. Next up is going to be the Pokemon.
Quick for a official.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe because we're not all in the same room, we're not going on all these wild tangents. But I think we pretty well covered it.
Yeah, this is quality content for the official show.
Indeed. Next up is going to be the Pokemon show, and I have no idea what we're going to do. You guys have any thoughts?
I don't either. I haven't touched Pokemon in like a month.
I know. Actually, let me do a game. How about that? I'll actually put together... I'm going to put some work into it. I'll get the game going for us. Let's just do one on just Galar. Is that cool?
Cool. Yeah.
You guys play a bunch... Yeah, you guys have both played a bunch of it, so it's not news to you.
Yeah, Pokemon, sure.
Yeah.
Also, you know I'm losing again. Who cares?
you've now like played that game twice, so I'm going to have to brush up.
Like, kind of.
Who's your favorite Pokemon, Wes?
Oh, Kingler.
Okay, there you go. We're gonna get some Kingler-centric questions.
Even though there is a Gigantamax.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That funky looking guy.
It's like, Wes, for 5 points, which of his claws is the bigger claw?
The other one.
That, oh, 5 points. He's on the board.
All right. Well, that's it. That's the end. Till next time, everybody.
So long.
Later.